The Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians is containing the spread of the coronavirus differently from the U.S. government. As a sovereign nation with its own hospital system, Eastern Band has been able to provide mass testing for all tribal members, whether or not they have symptoms. But it does get complicated because not all tribal members live in the Eastern Band's territory. I am joined now by Lily Canep, Blue Ridge Public Radio's reporter for Western North Carolina. Hello, Lily.
Hey, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to begin by asking you to distinguish, because we talk about the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, and what is the distinction here?
So there are actually three Cherokee tribes. The Cherokee Nation and the Gadua Band are both out in Oklahoma, but the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Indians are a sovereign nation that exist on the Qualla boundary here in Western North Carolina. They have their own tribal government, and they're about 16,000 members.
What do we know about the spread of coronavirus among the Eastern Band?
It has been pretty limited, sort of like the rest of Western North Carolina, but they really have been able to do a lot more testing than the rest of the counties. But right now, there are only about there are only about 10 positive cases and maybe about 15 positive cases for the Eastern Band. And it's not really set out whether or not that's only on the Qualla boundary or if that does include the surrounding counties of Swain and Jackson and also Cherokee County, which is about, 60 or 80 miles away, where they've also been doing testing.
But we could make an interesting comparison here, because the Navajo Nation is suffering horribly from this virus with the third highest rate per capita behind only New York City and New Jersey. How are the Eastern Cherokee keeping the rates down?
I mean, I think it's partially, if you look at the numbers outside of the Navajo Nation in New York and New Jersey, they're a lot higher than the counties here in Western North Carolina. But a lot of it has to do with the resources that the Eastern Band of the Cherokee have. One of the things that you have to understand is that Native Americans in this country operate their health systems through the Indian Health Services. But the Cherokee, the Eastern Band of the Cherokee actually are now a self-governance tribe. So all of their medical needs are tribally administered, but they still receive funding from the IHS. And that happened just back in 2002. So one of the things that we can really point to is that in 2015, the Eastern Band built an all-new hospital. It was about $82 million. So that's quite a lot more resources. And most of that comes from money from the casinos that they run.
Well, what I find interesting in all this, you mentioned the Indian Health Service, and they sort of more or less broke away from that to fund themselves. Indian Health Service is federally funded care for Native nations. The difference in federal spending on reservations and for Native health compared to other federal spending is incredible. Do you have those figures in front of you, the difference between Medicare, Medicaid, and IHS?
No, but I do know that the Cherokee Indian Hospital, the IHS funding that they receive is really just a drop in the bucket as far as what goes into making the hospital run. Most of it is funding from the tribe, which the chief put it about $16 million was their budget last year. And then from, the revenues of the hospital, Medicare, Medicaid, those third-party insurers, just like any other hospital in the country.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, federal spending through the IHS, Indian Health Service, is less than half of what Medicaid spending is. And Medicare spending, which is federally funded, is four times as much as what goes into IHS. And briefly, I'm going to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk some more about this. But tell us, you talked about the Qualla boundary. Locate that for us. What are we talking about there?
Sure thing. So it's right next to Swain County near Jackson County, so right along the Blue Ridge Parkway and up against Tennessee, so really nestled in the mountains. And as far as the impact that it has in the region, the Eastern Band, the members really live all across the region, and a lot of people work at the casinos. So there's a huge impact and interconnectedness between the Eastern Band and Western North Carolina.
Well, we'll talk more about how that health care that's being delivered now in that nation for the Eastern Band is delivering health care and coping with COVID-19 outbreak. I'm talking with Lily Knepp, and we'll continue that conversation on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians is a sovereign nation with territory in the Blue Ridge Mountains. With their own government and hospital system, they've been able to make some significant differences in the way they've handled the coronavirus outbreak. I'm speaking with Lily Knepp of Blue Ridge Public Radio about those differences. And, of course, before the break, Lily, I was pointing out the difference in spending between IHS, Medicare, and Medicaid. Obviously, Native populations have Medicare, Medicaid available as well, as you pointed out, in addition to the IHS spending. But it's significantly lower, which is one of the reasons that the Eastern Band has decided to, in a sense, go it on their own and build their own hospital. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I think that they're definitely not the only tribe in the nation doing this. In the region of IHS that they're in, it's called the Nashville region, and it's most of the East Coast. There are 9 other tribes who are self-governance tribes.
Well, I would just want to talk about what this means, because the Cherokee Indian Hospital then began offering and encouraging testing to all tribal members along the Quala Valley boundary and any visitors. So how extensive has that testing been?
Yeah, so it's the goal and kind of the policy that the Cherokee Indian Hospital has talked with me about is really wanting to test one person per household. But anyone who wants to be tested that is a member of the tribe can call. And then kind of the additional testing of people outside of the boundary has mostly been centered around contact tracing. So any of those people who are on the who are members of the tribe who are tested, you know, say they live in Jackson County and they're, you know, it's a man and his wife might not be a member of the tribe, but if he tests positive, then they would try and then they would test her as well, test the family, that sort of thing, from what I understand. And the tribe has also made a point to go into the communities that are not on the Quala boundary. There is a whole community of the Eastern Band that lives in Graham County, and a lot of them live in Cherokee County as well, which is, as I said, all the way out in Murphy. So that's really been special to be able to test at that level.
Well, I know you spoke with the CEO of Cherokee Indian Hospital Authority. Let's listen to Casey Cooper talk about why the leadership was able, in fact, to act so swiftly.
Because we are a small community and because we have fairly defined borders and because of our sovereignty, we felt like we were well positioned to implement measures that were consistent with international best practices. We were able to very quickly huddle up, look at the data, come to consensus around the data, and then make very quick decisions. And it was easier, too, because of the structure of the tribal government. There was not a lot of, I guess, conflicting priorities. We weren't really battling economic development or anything else. The priorities were very clear, and that was about protecting lives of enrolled members.
That was Casey Cooper, the CEO of the Cherokee Indian Hospital Authority. I'm talking with BPR's Lily Knepp. And Lily, even before the hospital ramped up testing, the tribal government closed the borders of the Quala boundary, right? That was on March 21st, which was 6 days before Governor Cooper announced the initial stay-at-home order. Tell us why the Eastern Cherokee restricted the border so early.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a reaction to, you know, what was going on around the country as the different states began closing their borders. The Eastern Band were really able to, just like Casey Cooper said, make that decision before, while North Carolina was still struggling with it. I think, as I explained before, kind of the impact of the nearby counties and other nearby states like Tennessee, what we've seen with the Navajo Nation, the increased numbers. The Cherokee were really concerned. You know, they only have 16,000 tribal members, and many of them are elderly and high risk. I know I've been on the show before to talk about the state of emergency of the Cherokee language, and everyone that I've talked to within The Eastern Band about the importance of getting tested has mentioned their tribal elders and the need to be able to hold on to these cultural traditions and the language that they have.
You know, Casey Cooper talked about the fact that the priorities were much more clear. There was less political conflict when it came to making the decisions. The clear public health over economic, the economic well-being and stability of the area. But that doesn't mean that the region's economic well-being isn't dependent on opening up. The casino money is what made the health system possible up there. And without tourism, that's going to suffer. What does this mean? I think the casinos are slotted for phased opening beginning next week, right? But then the question of whether or not people are going to come. What's the feeling up there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the casinos were closed for about 60 days, and the employees were paid for most of that time, actually. But they really have already seen a cut in revenue. They've already announced lowering of the disbursements that the tribal members receive. And I talked to Chief Richard Sneed about the upcoming budget that they're going to be putting together and balancing in July. And they're really thinking that they're going to make their budget with about 50% of the casino's projected revenue. That's what all of the tribal budgets are based on, is the projected revenue of the casino. And so he really felt that this is going to have an impact on every aspect of tribal life. He puts the casino's revenue last year in the neighborhood of $400 million, so it's a lot of money. Wow. This first phase of the gradual reopening, Harrah's is going to do an invite only and allow measure at first. So hopefully those people who were personally invited will come. I guess that's what the tribe is hoping.
All right, Lily. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Lily Knepp is Blue Ridge Public Radio's reporter for Western North Carolina.